Nau mai, wairua tapu, haere mai, ki kone.
Mō rena. Elijah and Karen here.
Are you Elijah and Karen?
We are the lead pastors. The cool thing about these videos is you get the bloopers and the real thing in one go. We're the lead pastors of Unite Church, a family.
A
joyful family of house churches with an oversight and a shepherd's community.
We desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus. How do we do this? By practicing the way of Jesus.
Which you should know by now.
Oh, as sorry. His church.
The centres on a commitment to Jesus and one another with the practice of scripture, prayer, and community.
I don't know whether to apologise or not.
No, we're going to run through this. We're going to get through it. It's the end of a term, a school term. You get it.
You do get it.
God's still good even when I'm tired. Scripture is about the story of God. The practice is to know Him, ourselves, and the world through the lens of Scripture, and it requires surrender from our part.
Absolutely. Prayer is about the Spirit of God. The practice is to connect to, be formed by, and partner with the triune God, heart to heart, through awareness and surrender.
And community is about the people of God. The practice is to do these other two things, the story of God, the Spirit of God, or to be engaged into these things in a community where we foster trust and freedom. I think you can do it without, but that's not the intent of Jesus. So it's always an encouragement, and we will always do that, encourage you to lean into community, learning to apprentice together. And it's not just about being in a room with one another, but actually learning how to open up and share and trust that God, the Spirit of God in one another. So let's keep that in mind as we dig into this week's video.
You go first.
I just had the burp. Sorry. This week we've been tackling 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the start of chapter 2. Using these letters from Paul to the church in Corinth as case studies as we consider the practice of learning to think about every area of life through the lens of the gospel. First things first.
I'm a realist. That's a song, isn't it? Sorry.
See, people don't know what you're talking about. But it is. Now I want to know who did that. Do yourselves a favour and find out that song for us. No. And watch the Bible Projects video on the first book of
Corinthians.
Sorry, I wrote something weird there. It's just the 1 Corinthians. There's a video on it. Bible Project. And if people don't know how to do this, help them. Do it in your neighborhood church. Have a watch. It's just under 9 minutes. It frames the letter so well. It's important to me. It should be important to you. It's important that we actually see where this fits in the story of God, or else we make ridiculous claims and come to conclusions that aren't at all true to the heart of Jesus in the story of the gospel. Oh, it said it there, so just do that. You can't use the Bible like that. You have to use wisdom. The whole point of wisdom is that you know when to pick up something and put something down. So I implore you, please, watch the video and it will help us. Because there's some hard things to grapple with in these letters, and they're actually not clear-cut, and we have to consider them humbly. We don't want to just be like, oh, it doesn't really matter, because it does truly matter. It's in the scripture. But we also don't want to be like, just do this and do that, because that's not learning how to walk in step with the Spirit. Yep. We have to find the middle way.
Yep.
So go with us as we do that. So let's have a look at chapter 1. Paul begins his letter in thanksgiving, moving from that to addressing an issue of disunity in the community and then speaking to the unity we have in Jesus as an answer to that disunity. What a way to refocus and align the church of Corinth by addressing this misfocus and honing in on the person of Jesus. Can you sense the invitation to set down our hard-headedness, hard-hearted opinions, and remind ourselves of who saved us? It's in the weakness of the cross we find out. Paul says, he reminds us, it's in the weakness of the cross that the power of God is revealed for us. And it's in the foolishness of the cross that the wisdom of God is made known to us. Jesus demands, that's not it, sorry, I'm just quoting Corinthians 1:22. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom.
Continue.
But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews. This passage is a stumbling block to me. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength.
Wow.
Oh, may we lay down our version of wisdom and seek Jesus where he is found.
Yeah.
And where is he found? In humble hearts that don't cling to their pride, to their own way of doing things. Which leads me to wonder, what must I lay down so that I may see Jesus more clearly? And would you come and wonder that for yourself as well? What ideal or version of God or myself or others am I holding on to bolster my confidence in my identity or to give me a sense of I'm okay? That the Spirit of God is inviting me to surrender. We don't know ourselves as much as we think we do, and yet we have a way of defining ourselves in things that are not of Jesus. May we be free to give those up. He's a better Lord than we are, a better Lord than what we can often surround ourselves with. He's a better Lord. The other day, a good friend was sharing about how they realized that some of the things they had given to God in the past, they had only given on loan. As in, there was like, they'd given them over, but there was an expectation that, oh, God's going to give them back. And they kind of held God to that. And I think we can all do this. I definitely have. And that we can find ourselves in the situation where we do this. We go, yeah, God, you can have this, but really, it's on loan. And maybe we need to allow God to have that thing with no expectation that he'll give it back at all. Our hope is not in what will fade away. There's other things that we can hope in. That's our true hope is not in those things, but in the one who will never fade away. That is Jesus. It is in the mystery of the cross and resurrection that in him we also will not fade away, but be restored and made new. And so even now, our faith is not in understanding better or having more understanding, but in the power of God, seen in the new life of Jesus for us. Let us lean into that revelation and that relationship.
Oof. Ooh. That's really good. You did it. You got there.
I got
there. You did it. Okay, I want to talk a little about the difference between trying and training. And the main element of this is practice. And we talk about practice non-stop.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go again. Putting what we hear, see, read about who God is and who he's designed us to be into practice in a way that is achievable to where we're currently at. Training, not trying. We can get stuck in the just try harder camp when we're pursuing a life with God. Either we feel that external pressure or we make that pressure on ourselves. Just try harder. Just pray more. Just be in community more. Just be in the Bible more. Now, all of these things are exceptionally necessary to our journey with God, but it's the way we come at it, our attitude towards it, and the way that we practice it that makes the difference. Training, not trying. We've talked not long ago about building in habits in our lives, and this is crucial to a life of training, and it involves all the things that I just mentioned, Bible, prayer, community, and more. Learning about who we are and what needs to grow and develop in us is a gift from God. And another gift is learning from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And more on that soon. Training, not trying. An analogy or an example of this is running a marathon. If you there, kind person, decide one day to run 42 kilometres without training, what do you think will happen? I could pretty safely assume that you wouldn't make it very far. Depends on your running ability, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think you make it very far. Why? Because you are not currently the kind of person for whom it is possible to run 42 kilometres. It's not impossible to run a marathon, but it is for you now as you are. So how can you do it? You train. One day you decide, you put on your shoes to run a kilometre. Did it. Done. However easy or hard that was. The next day, you put your shoes on and you do it again. The next day, you might feel a bit sore, so you have a rest. The next day, you run it again. The day after, you might be feeling good, so you might increase it by half a kilometre or another kilometre. etc., etc. You catch my drift. And over a long period of time, through training, you change. Mm. You become the kind of person for whom running 42 kilometres is hard, but it's no longer impossible. I think it probably is always hard, but it's not impossible. And to see that change, and then going back to not the analogy, so real life, that journey with God, seeing the change, we embark on the slow practice of the way of Jesus. Not just to just try it and try harder and do it by self-effort alone. But what are we training for? We're training to rely on the grace of God for our every moment. We're training to draw on God's wisdom and energy and peace and goodness when we need them most. We're training to trust that God is good, even when our circumstances say otherwise. We're training to have faith that his abilities are alive and available inside of us. We're training to be generous, knowing that Jesus is a generous God. We're training to be in community as it was designed by God and lived out so inspiringly through the Trinity. And I could go on. This is what we're training for. If we're just trying really hard to do these things, it's going to be too hard. Training takes one small step at a time. And a very important note, if you're a part of Unite, you have pretty good access to a community of believers who are in the process, the slow process of training. John Mark Comer talks about this in relation to salvation and how it's a communal thing. We're adopted into a family. When we say yes to Jesus and we give our lives to him, we're adopted into a family. It's not an individual moment. It's an individual moment, but
into a communal
practice.
Yeah.
Great. Brothers and sisters on this journey together, side by side, walking it slowly together. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we're to be perfectly united in mind and thought. I wonder what it would look, feel, sound like if our hearts weren't divided, if we ignored the desires of the flesh and listened to Christ. It seems impossible. I know when I read that, I'm like, wow, like imagine it. But I want to imagine it for a bit. What would I see? Probably precisely what Paul is saying, no division and perfectly united. As a community, imagine that. What does that even look like? Especially in a world that is so focused on individuality. It would look like what God, in the beginning, designed the world and humans to be. Connected. Fully connected.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Training, not trying.
That's right. We practice, God perfects. Awesome. Yeah, so good. Questions to consider. Tahi. Why is Jesus a firm place to hope in?
Ooh. Rua, what must I lay down so that I might see Jesus more clearly?
And Puru, how do we help each other to refocus on Jesus?
And to end, let's take some time to stop and consider our money and treasures before God. Jesus made it really clear, where our treasure is, there our heart is also. I invite us to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our money as a part of our apprenticeship to Jesus in this community of Unite. Father God, thank you for providing for us and for tithes and offerings given to Unite. We trust that you are good and that you lead us well. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. If you want to connect to us, get baptized, involved in a neighborhood church, discuss shepherding one or beginning one, give financially or have questions, you can go to unitechurch.org.nz.
Nice.
We have our Kids Bible Club on Monday, 3:30 to 5.
But not in the holidays.
Not in the holidays at the Unite Hall, so I guess not this coming.
Not for the next 2 weeks.
And same with our City Youth. It's taking a break for 2 weeks and we'll be back Thursdays, 7 to 8:30, but not in the holidays. Our All in Gathering is this coming.
Nope.
The end of this month on the Sunday, so 28th of April. Brilliant. Let's just take a moment and recognize we are loved. Just allow yourself to receive the love of Jesus personally in your heart. And even just have a moment to recognize his grace is with you to help you in your weakness, to practice And he's actually forming you, and he's doing it. He's healing, forming, growing you, and just let his love do that. Thank you, Jesus, that you are doing that. You are what our hearts desire. We love you.
Yeah.
And Unite Whānau, we love you.
Yeah,
be blessed.
We do.
And see you later.
Goodbye.